The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith, and it's so wonderful to have you back co-hosting Healthy Ulster Radio after a long hiatus of managing the COVID epidemic. And we're not quite through it yet, but perhaps we're in a much better place than ever.
Well, we're still working on it, but it's great to be back, Ben. Thank you.
And Dr. Smith, today we're going to be talking about discussing all of the great programs and services of Office for the Aging. And we're so fortunate to have Susan Copenhaver. Susan is director of Ulster County's Office for the Aging. So welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Vin, and thank you, Dr. Smith. Appreciate you having me around. Good morning, everybody.
Great having you, Sue.
So Sue, before we get into the details of some of the programs and services that Office for the Aging offers, can you give our listeners kind of a higher level overview of what the department
we're all
does?
About?
Yeah, absolutely.
So a lot of things happened in the 60s. You know, we had a lot of social programs be invented, and not to be excluded was the Older Americans Act, which actually established the offices for aging, both at a federal, a state, and then a county level. So it really started, I would say the offices started establishing themselves in the 70s to help older adults, everybody 60 and over, who weren't qualified for Medicaid, which, as you recall, in the 60s, that was also a new program. And we helped them in many, many different ways, which is what we're going to be talking about today. And how the funding works and everything, because there's sort of a macro view and then there's the county micro view that I'd like to explain both of them, if you let me.
Absolutely. And so how is the Office for the Aging funded? And maybe you could talk about just some of the staffing roles that you have, some of the positions.
So we get money from a lot of different places. Some of our programs are completely federally funded, like the legal assistance and some of the case management. Other programs are funded almost primarily from the state Office for Aging. We call it NYSOFA, New York State Office for Aging. And then usually, and this goes for all counties' offices for aging, or we call them AAAs, their area agencies on aging. And we're all funded the same way, basically, depending on the population in the state. So we have a little bit of a county match, right? So the county does put aside some money for us, but it's pretty small compared to what we get outside of the county. And every office has a director, although some of them have different names. It may not be director, but it could be executive director or something. And I happen to have a wonderful deputy director here. And we have a case management department, which we'll talk about. We have six case managers, one of them being a complete just a meals manager. And we have a couple of New York Connect staff, full-time New York Connect staff. We'll talk about that. We have a couple of fiscal staff who deal with our budgeting, because it is pretty complicated. We have two senior service aides, and our New York Connect staff also functions as that. And we have a receptionist, and we have three homemakers. We just hired our third this week, and I can talk about that too. And it's a fairly small staff, and we have a couple of contractors. So we don't have a lot of people working here to do what we do. So a lot of kudos to the staff who are very dedicated and love what they do. And when I started working here, I was actually sitting in my office listening to people hum and sing when they walked around, and it was a wonderful thing to hear.
That's a nice thing. Yeah, small but powerful staff.
Right.
And dedicated. And so now let's dig into to some of the programs a little bit. It says in the notes that you provide some legal education in terms of estate planning, and some financial education in terms of you know, handling finances and also taxes, filing for taxes, and also applying for government assistance programs. Can you just talk about those a little bit?
Sure. Let's talk about the legal thing first, because a lot of people do call the office for that. We don't have every legal service in the world. So our lawyer and most lawyers and offices for aging deal primarily with people's wills, their powers of attorney, which are two very important documents everybody should have for financial stability and in peace of mind, really, and a healthcare proxy, which isn't necessarily something you do with a lawyer or you have to have a lawyer for, but it's nice to have the advice, because if you're temporarily or permanently incapacitated, the healthcare proxy makes decisions for you medically. The power of attorney makes decisions for you if you cannot financially. So, and everybody knows what a will is. And some of them are simple and some of them are not so simple. Our lawyer also will give advice on Medicaid applications and estate planning and how do you set up a trust. We don't necessarily pay for that. Because so the need is so great in some of the other areas, but she will give advice. She does not litigate, so she does not go to court with people. She doesn't fight with landlords. We have another referral source for that who is not part of our funding stream, but we refer a lot to Hudson Valley Legal Services, which has a very competent legal staff as well. And I know that the county uses a lot of their services as well. So the legal part of it is important, and people know about it, and they call a lot for that. We also have people that we can call upon for what you call government assistance programs, which is, if I may branch off of that a little bit, Medicare, Medicaid, Medicare savings plans. You talked about taxes. That's kind of a different program, but the HICAP program, which is an acronym that means health information and insurance counseling programs and assistance programs. We have a part-time person here who coordinates that program along with a number of volunteers who meet with people all over the county and help them straighten out or decipher or help them online with either their Medicare reinstatement or instatement when they're about to turn 65. And by the way, if you are going to turn 65, we strongly recommend you get some counseling a few months before you turn 65. So HICAP helps people with that. They also help people during the open enrollment period, which usually starts mid-October through the beginning of December, where you can change your Medicare plan or you can change it to an Advantage plan, which is a Medicare managed plan, and your Part B, which is your outpatient Medicare plan, and Part D, which is your drug plan. And we have something here also. We have a part-time consultant who only deals with the Medicare savings plans. And that's really for people who still don't qualify for Medicaid, but they have a low enough income to be able to save the deductible from the Medicare monthly deductible that you have to pay. And it depends on your income. It's all income-based, but she's a wonderful person. She talks to people on the phone. She's very mission-driven. And if you think that you qualify, you can call our office. I'm going to say that number several times during the course of this program. It's 340-3456, and you can make an appointment to be seen by any of those people. It's all free. The legal services, we do ask for contributions because it is an expensive service, but we do not expect people to pay if they cannot afford it. So you go into the question, that's how we help the Medicare part of this. Again, I said at the beginning that we don't really service people who are qualified for Medicaid, because Medicaid comes with its own set of help for people in all different areas. I know it's for the indigent, and it helps people of all ages. So we're really focusing on people 60 and over who have too much income for Medicaid, probably will always have too much income for Medicaid, but really can't afford a lot of other things. So we sort of fill a gap, you know, between people who are, you know, have a lot of money and don't have to worry about things like that, and folks who have to qualify for Medicaid and food stamps and Section 8, things like that. So those are the folks we deal with primarily.
Well, I mean, insurance is, and not insurance, but healthcare is, I would imagine, such a big issue for older adults, right? I mean, just navigating the maze of the healthcare system, the insurance system for anyone can be daunting. But when you have, you know, when you do have later in life, when, you know, when a lot of health issues pop up or become more serious, it gets a little bit more complicated.
Yeah, and that's why it's really important to talk to somebody who understands the difference between traditional Medicare and an Advantage plan, which may be cheaper, but there are certain restrictions that go along with Advantage plans, meaning you usually have to stay in the same network. You may not have the flexibility that you have with traditional Medicare, but you're going to pay less. So I guess it depends on your situation and what you're looking for. So it's, you know, our counselors give a nonpartisan outlook to somebody. They're not Medicare salesmen. They don't work for a particular company. So it's, here's the information. You make your decision from there. And you can change every year, which is why we have enrollment, open enrollment, as I mentioned, in mid-October, starting in mid-October. We become very, very busy then. And the counselors are all busy all over the place. The counselors are all volunteers. Mm-hmm. They're trained every year. They're upgraded every year. Medicare's complicated, you know, and you have to keep upgrading the information, and every time and the administration changes, the software changes, and
so much, you know, so much to know and learn. And, and I'm sure our listeners are very interested in this and want to learn more, but we're running out of time in the first segment. So it's okay. It's always goes fast when we're talking about good stuff. We're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Back after these words.
Heart attacks won't wait. If you ever have symptoms of a heart attack, you need to get to the nearest emergency department, preferably one with the technology and expertise to stop a heart attack in its tracks. Health Alliance Hospital, right here on Broadway in Kingston, has expanded cardiac services, including catheterization and electrophysiology. Now, for many people, Health Alliance in Kingston is the closest option to find treatment of clogged arteries, irregular heartbeats, and to limit damage from a heart attack already in process. For the first time, we have these advanced heart health services based right here in Ulster County. This expansion is part of a larger plan to bring advanced cardiac services to Ulster County and the surrounding communities. If you have heart attack symptoms, do not wait. Call 911 and get to the closest emergency department. At Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston, we are ready to see you now. That's Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston. WMC Health. Advancing care here.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.4.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest today is Susan Copenhaver, who is the director for the Ulster County Office for the Aging. Sue, before the break, we were talking about Medicare and a lot of the services that OFA assists with. Can you talk about the case management program that you sponsor, and what sort of activities and programs come under that designation?
Certainly. Let me start from the sort of the other end of this. I talked about legal. I talked about Medicare, the things that are sort of grassroots things for people. But we get phone calls through our New York Connects line, and New York Connects is basically a resource and a referral agencies. Again, folks are trained. They know a lot of stuff about the resources in the county and the state, and they're able to answer a lot of questions. So a lot of referrals for case management come out of New York Connects, people who need help at home, people who need a PERS unit, which stands for Personal Emergency Response System, you know, the phone with the button if you fall and you can't get up, that's a PERS unit. And people need home delivered meals. People might want to go to a congregate meals. I'm taking Vinny's questions and I'm kind of blending them all together to talk about trying to keep people at home is our mission. And how do we do that? We manage them at home. We have a non-medical case management. It is a non-professional case management, but they're trained. They have some training involved. They're not social workers. They're not nurses, but they are able to assess what's going on in the home, Find out if somebody needs a home delivered meal program. So that's meals that are delivered 5 days a week, frozen, once a week, five meals a week, I should say, if they need that. If they, excuse me, if they need a PERS unit, we set it up with our contracted company. If they need an aide, whether they need personal care or just housekeeping, it's two levels of personal care. We have three of our own homemakers, we call them. They're all full time. And they go out and they help people stay at home. They do shopping for them. They do their laundry. They do a little light housekeeping. They make sure that people can stay safe at home. If they need personal care, then we reach into the licensed agencies that we have contracts with in the county to get personal care level two, which means, you know, I need help bathing. I need help walking. I need help dressing, things like that. So those are all underneath the case management. And case management also makes referrals for other things. A congregate meal program. We have five programs in the county where people can eat together. There's one in Saugerties, Ellenville, Rosendale, here at the Senior Hub in Kingston, and one day in New Paltz. So there are things available for people to get together with other older adults. There's no charges for the congregate meal programs, by the way. We also have things that if people are able to leave their homes that can help them stay at home. Exercise, lifelong learning, having fun, getting access to transportation programs. We have a volunteer transportation programs for which we need a lot more volunteer drivers, by the way. And we have a program through UCAT where people can register for UCAT and get rides to shopping or to their doctor's visits in the county. So there are things that we can help people stay at home. That's part of our mission. We have a contract with RCAL. That's the Resource Center for Accessible Living that helps people stay at home by making their home more accessible to them as they age. Things like that are what help people stay at home as they age. And I would, you know, people my age who are maybe retiring in the next 5 years really need to think about how they are living now. How can I make sure that I can age in my home? How can I make sure that I can stay safe here? And those are the things you have to think about. We have a nice volunteer program. We're always looking for people to help out. There's many things that people can do. We have a small respite program for people who are caregivers. We have support programs for people who are caregivers. So we have those other sort of adjunct programs to help people live fairly fulfilling lives, even though they may be in their 70s and 80s. They're still coming to our craft program. They're still coming and sitting down for chair yoga. They're coming to our musical programs. They're coming to our picnics. We have all sorts of things going on all throughout the year. Lunch and learns twice a month. We have picnics. We have educational seminars. We have things we did on Zoom during COVID, and people got involved. We have evidence-based exercise program that includes Tai Chi, a new one called Bingo Size, A Matter of Balance. Those are all federally funded programs that prove that they work, help people stay healthy, help people from falling. Falling is one of the number one reasons why people go into nursing homes and have to go into rehab and end up in a wheelchair, and then you're not safe at home anymore. So I know it was a bit of a run-on, but those are the kinds of things that we try to get people to understand. That's how you stay home. That's how you stay safe. That's how we can keep you at home. And I know that nobody wants to end up in a nursing home. So that is really our raison d'etre here, that those types of things that we offer, people should take advantage of. And I know at the beginning of our conversation, Dr. Smith was asking about the Buzz. That's our newsletter. We have a monthly newsletter. It has lots of information, has our upcoming programs. Please call our office at 340-3456 and ask to be added if you have an email address. And it is delivered to about, I don't know, 35 or 40 different places all over the county every month. We do that.
It's a wonderful newsletter. I mean, it contains tips on how to stay healthy, your programs, upcoming events, the barbecue coming up. There's a lot going on this summer in June and July that people over the age of 60 can reserve to join and without charge. Right. So a lot of great things that, you know, would help to enhance the quality of life overall.
Quality of life, absolutely.
And Sue, Since you, when you talked about the congregate meal settings where people come together and have a meal together and the exercise programs and some of the games that you have and some of the other social gatherings, you know, we know in the public health world, for instance, that social isolation or social association, as it's called, is a, one of the key criteria by which the Robert Wood Foundation and others assess the overall health of a community by the number of social opportunities and connections that people have. And certainly we saw the reverse of that during COVID, right? Where social isolation drove up substance use disorder numbers and suicide numbers and a lot of negative consequences. So from your perspective, how important is it, is that aspect of the, of your programs in terms of that, that aspect of bringing people together and keeping them, you know, connected and keeping them engaged in that way?
Well, I will tell you that I think we had a lot of people calling our office during COVID that were absolutely at the end of their wits. A lot of folks don't have the ability to go online or figure it out, or how do I get a COVID vaccine, or how do I get an email address? So we actually have a program to help people. We call it Cyber Seniors, and we're spreading it all over the county. We're trying to put refurbished computers in any housing we can possibly find who are interested for free, train them for free, and connect people that way. But the actual connection, I would say that the seniors were the ones clamoring to get back. They were fine if we had to wear a mask. They were fine if they had to be vaccinated, but they wanted to get back and reconnect with people, to come back into their programming, to come back into the congregate sites for meals. It wasn't a huge amount, but it was enough for us to be able to open the congregate sites one day a week to at least allow people to come back and eat together and start talking together. We established a game day here in the hub, and we just did it in New Paltz so people could come in and kind of sit down and play games together. That was established right when COVID started, so it kind of dropped off the face of the earth for a couple of years. And we're still trying to get people together for a number of different activities, but they're more than willing to do it. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're not afraid of COVID, but they're gung-ho about it.
And I'm sure that volunteering and staying engaged is part of that equation, right? So did mention volunteering. So how do people get involved in the volunteering efforts?
They're going to call me because I've become the volunteer coordinator. And
among other things.
And they fill out an application and we chat about what they might want to do. And, you know, I mentioned driving before. That's not for everybody, but it is for some people. They do get mileage. But we have people who volunteer to give somebody a call every week. So they make just to check up on them, somebody they don't even know. We call it a warm call program. It's a great idea. It doesn't cost anything. And lots of the people have established relationships over the years with these folks who are tend to be isolated and alone. So I get people who want the calls, and then I get people who want to give the calls. Mm-hmm. And we have respite, we have library help, and I'm working on getting a literacy program going in the schools.
So Sue, before we run out of time, in which we are rapidly running out of, can you tell our listeners where they can go to get more information on anything we discussed today or just any of your programs and services? Yep. Where do they go? How do they get?
You can go online to the county government and hit Office for Aging. It'll get to right to our website. Or you can call our number at 340-3456. Or you can come to 1003 Development Court in the DSS building.
It sounds really good. Well, you know, thank you so much, Susan, for all the work that you and your colleagues do. We are really very fortunate here in Ulster County to have such a dynamic and committed group of people who are working on behalf of our older adult population, and which we'll all be a member of.
That's right. Well, paying it forward, right?
Absolutely.
That's what this is about.
We know of which we speak.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
What we do. We love it.
And Dr. Yep. Smith, once again, good to have you back as a co-host.
It's great to be
here.
Back, man.
And that's about all the time we have for today. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Stay tuned next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.